Our gospel reading today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And this is what takes place right before Jesus begins his ministry. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of the Lord. Today is the first Sunday of Lent, and also my first official Sunday with you as pastor, so I am thrilled. And I decided that I would like to enter into a sermon series with you during this season of Lent on a topic that has come to mean a lot to me personally. But first, just a little bit of background. I have celebrated Lent since college. I became a Christian in high school in a much more evangelical-minded church, and they didn't celebrate Lent. And in my college years, I ended up going to Catholic church because I was really drawn to the ritual. It was very different for me, and I found it beautiful. And I attended Catholic Mass for several years and learned about this beautiful season through that connection. And I have since found my way into all different kinds of churches, finally landing in Presbyterian. But all throughout, Lent has come to mean a lot to me. When I was fresh out of college, only a few months, I fasted one day a week during Lent with a coworker who also happened to be a seminary graduate. And we prayed together during the lunch hour, since we weren't eating. And on our fasting day, it was then that I discerned my call to ministry. So that was one of the biggest turning points in my life, and it happened during Lent. So this type of holy season has the potential to refine our character and also to lead us into new directions. I really believe that. So that said, what this sermon series is about is fasting and feasting. And as you can see on the front of your bulletin, this series theme is based on a poem that I came upon during seminary, and it changed the way that I have viewed Lent ever since. Because Lent can be a very somber and heavy time, not only because it falls in the middle of winter, but also because it emphasizes things like repentance and mortality and giving things up. And those things are important for us to meditate on. But everyone, even those who are not very excited about church, seem to get excited about giving something up for Lent. And in this sermon series, we're going to explore what it would mean to maybe add something into our lives to fill the empty space that's left by whatever it is that we give up. Because if we take away something that we've been leaning on too hard for comfort or security or relaxation, it strips us down a little bit. It makes us question what it is that we truly stand on to be who we really are. And Jesus went through just this sort of experience in the wilderness. He had just gotten a divine affirmation in his baptism that he was the Son of God. And then, so soon after, he is thrown into this temptation experience. And that might sound a little familiar to us if we really look at our lives. Just when we get comfortable and happy, just when we are feeling God's love, that's when something blows up, something goes wrong. And then we're shaken and we wonder what it's all about, whether that love from God was real after all. We may not be driven to a physical wilderness, but we can relate to the feeling in the wilderness, the feeling of being lost and alone, tested. But this time of testing and trial had to happen for Jesus before he could begin his real work, his ministry. Let's take a closer look at his experience. He is tempted in three major ways. First, he is tempted to turn stones into bread, basically to do whatever is necessary to get what he needs right now, as opposed to waiting on God and trusting that God knows what he needs. Secondly, Jesus is tempted to throw himself off of a cliff, basically to make a spectacle of himself, a sensational act, to prove himself that he is the Son of God. And scripture is even used to justify this temptation, that he can trust the angels to keep him from harm. But he doesn't want to do that because he is not all about the sensation. And third, Jesus is tempted to grab at power and to own everything in the whole world, if only he will bow down to the forces of evil. We know he doesn't give in to any of these temptations, but it's interesting to think that these temptations first come to him in the wilderness, and then later on throughout his ministry, I think they come up again and again. When you consider that 5,000 people following him were hungry, he could have snapped his fingers and done a nice magic trick and made bread appear for everyone. He could have coerced people into following him, but he told them stories. He offered them healing. He gave them a choice. He could have struck his opponents dead rather than letting them arrest him, beat him, and kill him. But what Jesus does instead of all these magic tricks and sensational acts is to tell the world who he really is, to show it through compassion and humility. And this time in the desert was for him to learn on his own who he really was, to learn how it is that he was going to live out this calling to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. What Jesus went through was part of being fully human. He might not have known fully yet how he was going to do this ministry, and this experience shaped him. So how is it that we experience these same temptations in our lives? I think that when we are suffering, we get overwhelmed, and so we are tempted in the same ways Jesus was. It is human nature. When we suffer, we too are tempted to just do whatever easy thing is there to fix it right then, even temporarily. So maybe we grab for the bottle of wine, or we plug into our phone, or we go to sleep, or we eat. We do whatever's necessary to numb the pain. When we suffer, we too are tempted to prove ourselves, to prove that we are good enough, to prove that we don't deserve what we're going through, to prove that we're strong enough to handle anything and that we don't need any help. When we suffer, like Jesus, we too are tempted to question our devotion to God. If God loved us, this wouldn't be happening, right? We get discontented and afraid, and we might say to ourselves things like, maybe I'll stop putting in my best at work. I haven't gotten a raise in so long, and no one seems to notice anyway. Maybe I won't bother trying to eat healthy and exercise because I still don't like the way that I look. Maybe I will stop pouring so much of my life into these darn kids because they don't seem to appreciate it anyway. If God loves me, everything should be going right, shouldn't it? Even in the Psalms, you see that temptation happening. We read about King David looking at the good fortune of others and wringing his hands, wondering, why isn't it going right for him? Is he doing something wrong? Shouldn't his faith be making things go his way? Lent is a reminder for us that the journey of faith is not about getting what we want. It is about being who we are and remembering who Jesus really is. We cannot know who we really are without knowing who Jesus really is. There's an old story that goes something like this that I really like. It says, once upon a time, there was a child made all of salt. This child very much wanted to know who he was and where he came from. So he set out on a long journey, traveling many lands in pursuit of this understanding. Finally, he came to the shores of a great ocean. How marvelous, he cried, how beautiful. And he stuck one foot in the water. But then he saw how his toe disappeared, and he became afraid. The ocean beckoned him in further, saying, "If you wish to know who you are, do not be afraid. Come in." The salt child walked further and further into the water, dissolving with each step, and at the end was a part of the ocean, and exclaimed, "Ah, now I know who I really am." It's the same thing with us, that image. Sometimes in order to get to the root of who we are, other superficial parts need to dissolve or be pulled away, at least for a time. Living in the world puts layers upon layers on us of ego and pride and greed and fear, all kinds of things. They put layers on us. And even as faithful people, Lent is a challenge to us to peel back those layers of defense and desire, those things that don't matter, in order to get to something real. So, returning to the theme of this morning, when Jesus comes upon problems that overwhelm him, he does not give in to them. He does not deal with them in the world's way. Instead, he feasts on what would uplift him and protect him. He uses God's word stored deep in his heart through times of quiet and prayer that he's already had to counter these false messages, because some of them sound pretty compelling. The devil is even using scripture, but the messages are false, and Jesus is able to counter them. He was receiving in the temptations a message that sounded good, but he was able to feast on what was best. He holds tight to God's presence within him. There is a prolific Christian writer I'm sure lots of you have heard of named C.S. Lewis, and he wrote this very imaginative book that I recommend called The Screwtape Letters. And in this book are letters written by essentially the devil's executive assistant named Screwtape, and it's letters to his nephew Wormwood, who's basically like an intern, like a grunt. And Screwtape is mentoring Wormwood on how to do his job, how to bring an ordinary person like you or me, known as the patient, away from their enemy or God. And one particularly thought-provoking letter says to Wormwood, this intern, "You say that I am steering you towards very small sins. Like all young tempters, you are anxious to be able to report spectacular wickedness. But the only thing that matters is the extent to which you separate this person from the enemy. It does not matter how small the sins are, provided that their effect is to edge the man away from the light and out into nothing." So we may tell ourselves that we are good people and we don't do any major sins, and that this whole Lent business really is for someone else. But really, this season is not about how big or small a sin is. It's about what keeps us in particular, away from God. And more often than not, it is the little things that keep God at a distance, and it is the little things that are going to bring God close and bridge that gap. God is always reaching out to us, and we reach back through prayer, through talking to God, and also listening to God, listening in the quiet, listening through scripture or books that inspire you, listening on long walks. We all listen to God differently, but these small everyday things are what is going to undergird us, or basically provide a strong foundation when the tough times do come. When the problems overwhelm, that will undergird us. And I have one final story for you to chew on today. One evening, an elderly Cherokee grandfather told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside each person. He said, "My son, the battle is between two wolves inside us all. One wolf is evil. It is anger and envy, greed, self-pity, lies, false pride, ego, all that bad stuff. And the other wolf is good. It is joy, peace, hope, humility." And the grandson thought for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, "Well, which wolf wins?" And the grandfather replied, "The one that you feed." So you see, this holy season, it's about what we feed. It's not all about what we avoid. It's not all about what we give up. It's a season also to feast on what God offers to us as paths to a deeper and fuller life. And it's not going to be a life that's free from temptations and struggle, but it will be a life of integrity, living into who God has truly called us to be. May it be so.